Well, hello again, Pop Dosers. It's me, Ted Asfergadu, with another Pop Dose interview, podcast style. In this episode, I speak to Aradhna, a New Zealand pop artist whose single Wake Up is in the top 20 in her native NZ, or NZ, as they say down there. In this interview, Aradhna talks about the New Zealand pop scene, opens up about wanting to quit the music business, and the way in which the music of Amy Winehouse brought her back from the precipice. So here we go. It's the Pop Dose interview with Aradhna. Aradhna, you have a very cosmopolitan background. You were born in New Zealand. Your ethnic roots are Asian Indian and Samoan. And you're a singer whose style is mostly pop and R&B. And it seems like with that background, you could have gone in a number of directions with your music, but you chose pop and R&B as the road you wanted to go down and explore musically. So why was that?
Well, growing up, my mum and dad, you know, they both sing, and my mum like used to write her Samoan gospel music, and I used to, you know, just watch her perform some of these original music like at church, Samoan church, and my dad, he's like a singer as well. He used to take me to all the festivals he used to sing at, like the Diwali and some Indian weddings and stuff like that. So I was like a young kid just watching them perform and stuff, and that kind of made me, it kind of taught me a few things about music, and I started to get into R&B music and pop music like in the 90s at school. I think I heard some of these new groups like Boyz II Men, like who I never knew of. Like I learned it from school.
Right, right. So you just kind of fell in love with that style.
Yeah, I just loved all the music, like the R&B, SWV and Boyz II Men. And, you know, that's what I found, like, what I wanted to do, R&B.
Well, yeah. You know, and it seemed like what happened was that, you know, you sort of, there was sort of the gateway. And you went and you explored older styles of R&B music, too. I mean, it seems like that you're a real fan of 60s and 70s. Well, mostly American R&B, some British.
Yeah, I'm like heavily influenced by the music abroad. Grew up on all of the music that comes from the States and some from the UK.
Yeah, this kind of dovetails into my next question, which is for many North Americans, pop music from New Zealand is framed by the success of Split Enz and Crowded House and Lady Hawk and, yes, even Flight of the Conchords. But these are bands and performers whose success is like a classic status. You know, Split Enz and Crowded House are sort of the classic New Zealand pop bands. And then Flight of the Conchords is a novelty act and, you know, comedy duo. But they're definitely talented. And in the case of Lady Hawk, I mean, established. I know that Lady Hawk lives in Australia now, but is a New Zealander from birth. And that's a really mixed bag of artists that I listed. But from your vantage point as a, you know, as an NZ girl, would you say that there is a New Zealand sound when it comes to pop music?
I would say there is.
What artists would you say kind of encapsulates that sound?
There's a whole lot of artists that are not known around the world that I would probably say, like Shefu. You wouldn't really know who he was, but there's just so many. Like,
but just educate us, inform us, let us know, you know, give a window into New Zealand pop that some of us North Americans and others outside of out of the United States that are listening to this podcast would say, I think I'll Google that and listen to that on Spotify.
All right. I would say definitely go check out an artist called Shefu. He's one of my influences as well growing up. Since I was at school, I used to sing some of his songs with my girl group. He's an NZ icon, a group called At Ease. They definitely have that NZ flavor. You just need to check them out. The harmonies are on point and just the songs that they write. Another one that would be a good person to check out would be Maisie Rika. She sings in the whole, like, Māori language. She's got that NZ sound.
That's three artists that you name. Is there a kind of a style? I mean, are they pop music? Is it hip hop? Is it just more diverse than that?
Shefu and Eddie's, they've got this whole R&B pop kind of sound with a little bit of hip hop in there. It's the music over here is like really rootsy. It's just got real natural vibes, like raw, raw, raw.
It's not like electronic dance music or dubstep that sort of
as you said, it's a much more organic sound that is more popular in New Zealand.
Organic sound, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk a little bit about your previous albums before we get to your current recording. Your debut album was called, or is called, because it didn't go away, is called I Love You, and it came out in 2006. The first single was called Downtime, and it peaks at number 3 in the New Zealand charts. It's a pretty impressive debut. Some of the artists that I follow and some that I read about, they often say that when they go back and they're asked to comment on their earlier recordings, that they can't do it because they can't really listen to their earlier recordings. They don't want to listen to that because they feel like they've progressed beyond that point, that they don't want to go back and listen to those earlier tracks. But, you know, when you hear that song now, which was your lead single, Downtime, what do you take away from that? What do you hear when you hear this person that sang in 2006 from your vantage point in 2013?
I just hear younger me, just some more naive young girl just singing about what she thinks she knows. And that's what I hear. It's just more like a going through one of my old ass diaries from like when I was young. But yeah, that's what it feels like. We spend some O-W-N-time. Wanna spend some downtime. Would you baby downtime? Wanna spend all of that O-W-N-time. Wanna spend some downtime.
What did it feel like when, you know, your single peaks number 3 in your home country, and suddenly you've gone from struggling as a musician to having almost instant fame?
Well, with Downtime, it came out, that would have been my like third single that I put out.
That was your
out.
Third one. Okay. I thought it was your first one.
No, that's my first solo.
Okay.
But, I featured on the group At Ease that I mentioned before. I featured on one of their songs, and that was my kind of debut for my, you know, myself and everything. And that song went number one. I was just really excited about that moment, and yeah, I was just happy to be able to do what I love. And that time I was, ooh, what's going to happen next?
How did your life change from that moment on? I mean, people, when a certain level of fame happens for some artists, some are able to handle it better than others, but there is that moment that you're going to walk down the street and people are going to recognize you, whether you want to be recognized or not. And at first, maybe it's all very exciting and new. And then for some people, it becomes a real hassle. So how did you take to this newfound fame, as it were?
I actually embraced it because I just know that like these are the people that listen to my music. And I appreciate those people that come up to me and say, you know, hey, I love your music and stuff like that.
Have you ever able to meet some of your musical heroes and to thank them personally, like your fans have thanked you?
Yeah, I got to meet like Shefu, who I was talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's one of my influences, and yeah, I got to say my piece to him, and I got to meet him, and I was privileged to actually do a song with him.
So I take it you're very open with your fans. I mean, if people approach you on the street or in a restaurant or any kind of public place, ask for an autograph or a picture that they can put on Facebook, you're more than willing to oblige, right?
Yeah. These are the people that listen to my stuff, and why should I just like tell them to go away and stuff? Like, nah, I appreciate that stuff.
I think that's a really good attitude. I really do. I think that also on your first album, I Love You, you did a song that called Secret Lover, which I really, really enjoyed, mostly because it was partly sung in another language. And we were talking before the interview, and you said it was sung in Hindi. When you listen to a song like that, what do you hear from a vocal standpoint? What do you like about what you were able to achieve on a song like that?
I like the fact that I could write a song in another language. I mean, well, I had to get help from my dad to...
Because you don't speak Hindi fluently, right?
No, I don't.
So, but your dad does, so he helped you out, right?
Yeah, I got my dad to help me out. Yeah, I was glad to do a song in Hindi. Also, just singing style, just to showcase some of the other ways that I sing in the falsetto. If that makes sense.
it does. Yeah. I think that one of the things that I was thinking about when I was listening to that track was, given your ethnic roots, I found it to be one of the more interesting tracks on the album, mostly because it expressed a part of who you are personally. I mean, yes, we were talking about earlier how, because 90s pop and 90s soul music was something that you latched onto when you were younger, and this was something that you just absolutely loved. But there was this other side of you that you were talking about earlier, where you used to speak at, or sorry, you used to sing at, with your parents, and whether it's in church or at a Diwali festival with your dad. And I felt like this song, at least that side of you, it was expressed in a very nice way. And I really did enjoy that from both a vocal standpoint and the way in which it spoke to your background.
Thanks.
Next album was called Sweet Soul Music, and that came out in 2008. And this is an album of covers from American soul and R&B artists from the 60s and 70s. So what made you go old school on this?
I've always loved old school too, like just from watching movies, and I started, like, you know, researching all of that, like the Beatles and then Sam Cooke and that. At the library, I used to like read up on them, and then I started getting some of their music.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you also cover a Jackson 5 song. You cover I Want You Back.
Yeah, I've always listened to old school music. I just didn't fully go into it until now. The treble and reverb sound. Sweet Soul Music is my kind of tribute to all the old school artists that I really loved.
Do you have a favorite from that album?
From the Sweet Soul?
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite would be I Wish It Would Rain.
Why that song?
The song was written from a real experience. Like I read that the guy who wrote that song, after the Temptations put it out, he committed suicide, and because it was about his wife leaving him for someone else or something. Mm-hmm. You know, you could just hear it in the lyrics, and just I love it when a song is like from a real place. So that's my favorite song.
Sunshine, blue skies, please go away. A man has found another and gone away. With him, where my future, my life is filled with gloom. So day after day, I stay locked up in my room. I know to you, might sound strange, but I wish it would rain.
I wish that it would rain.
When you go in and cover a song like that, knowing the backstory of it, does it affect the way in which you approach the song vocally? I mean, do you get into a certain headspace?
Yeah, I do. I need to feel that song to perform it the way it should be sung.
Do you think about the backstory as you're singing it, or do you come from it from a more personal place?
Sometimes I come from a personal place. Most of the time I do.
One of your influences, and you cite this, I think it's pretty clear on the current single that you have out, is Wake Up. And Amy Winehouse is definitely present in a way on that single. And what is the backstory about your connection, in a sense, or your fan of her music, specifically the album that she did, Back to Black? So can you talk a little bit about the backstory of how her music has influenced this current single, Wake Up?
It started off when she put her album out, and I got her album like at the end of 2006. And this is kind of when I kind of like in the middle of quitting music here in NZ. At that time, I was listening to her music. Like, I got her music end of 2006, and just I couldn't take it off my record player until months and months later. And I just connected with all her music, and I just loved the way she was so honest with her lyrics, and I loved how she really dug, like, she did that whole retro vibe, and it kind of made me appreciate all the old school stuff that I was listening to. It kind of made me go dig deeper and search for all these old school gems, and listening to her music just made me want to just write more, try to write out everything I'm really trying to say, to be more honest with my lyrics, and help me embrace the old school doo-wop sound. And I started listening to more old school, and then soaking up all that old school music, and everything I was writing after that started sounding like everything I was listening to.
Why did you want to quit the music business? What was it at that point that you felt like you hit a wall in a way?
It was just the whole lot of things that were just mounting up for me. When I started this music thing, I was a really sensitive person, and I would just take all the criticism, any little thing bad about me said, like, you know, with music, like if they said that I suck, I'd just take that on board, and, you know, I felt like a stab in my heart, like times 100, and I'd fall, and so I couldn't handle the criticism, and that kind of mounted up. Like, I've had a lot of people say some nasty shit to me and, you know, feel really down about it. Yeah, it does. It hurts. It's sort of like I'll see some really bad comments online. It's kind of like bullying. I just really took it all on board, and there were just other things in my life that was happening. Just all came together and just in my head. So I just kind of just didn't want to do anything with my life. So I just kind of quit. Like, I went to the States early 2007, tried to do music there, and it didn't work out. Like, I just, for a couple months, I just went over and I just didn't see anything happening. So I just thought, that was the cherry on top. So I went back home and I stayed at my mum and dad's. I was just depressed every day. Like, just all I did was just stay in my room, sleep all day in my pajamas, eat. And this is why I gained a lot of weight too. I drank a lot. Like, around those times, I was listening to that Amy Winehouse album, and that kind of, like, I felt connected to it, which is why she influenced me.
I was going to say that, what was it about Amy Winehouse's music? And I think that you hit on it, is that she was somebody that also got to a very bad place where her substance abuse had taken its toll and eventually killed her. It's hard to know whether it was some of the public perceptions, it was probably a lot of her family life. It seems like you have a very stable family life, and the outside pressures of being a performer, being in the limelight like that, and then also having to look at all the negative comments that come from people who are virtually anonymous. I mean, they're hiding behind their keyboard and they're saying all these nasty things to you. You seem like a very open person with your fans, in that you're very appreciative of them because they buy your music. They listen to what you create and they support you financially. To hear all that negative commentary coming from a fan base, even if it's people that really don't like your music that much, but are on forums or on Facebook or wherever you're getting this information, that's got to take a toll, especially if you're reading this stuff and you want to be open with your fans and you want to be connected to them. So I could see where that would take you to a place where you wanted to unplug, you wanted to just get away from it. And it's nice to know that, you know, you had a safe place to go with your parents' house to find, you know, just to unplug from it all. And listening to Amy Winehouse's music, there's definitely an attitude there of, I don't give a shit, or I feel more empowered by certain things. But it is her persona that she projected on the public that certainly connected with you. Was there any besides the entire album, was there any one song that spoke to you more than others?
For me, it would be Wake Up Alone. So I just understand everything she's saying in there.
It's okay in the day, I'm staying busy, tied up enough so I don't have to wonder where is he. That everyone gets just disappears soon as the sun sets. He's fierce in my dreams, seizing my thoughts. He floods me with dread, soaking soul. He swims in my eyes by the bed. Pour myself over him.
What about the single Wake Up? Now, you were talking a little bit before this about during this period when you went back home after coming back from the United States to try to take your music in a different direction. You were at home with your parents, at your parents' home, sleeping a lot, as you put it, drinking a lot, maybe eating a lot. When I listen to the song, it sounds like you're talking to yourself, like just, you know, get up, get out of bed and move and stop being this person that's just going to either lie about all day and watch the world go by or go past them. So this comes from this period of time with the lyrics, or was it something else that happened?
It's coming from that period of time. I wrote that song while I was in it. It was just me trying to tell myself to get my shit together.
And then the style that you sing, your vocal style has changed from earlier recordings to this current one. How are your fans reacting to this new sound?
Most of my fans, they're happy with it. They're still supporting me to this day. Some are like really missing my old stuff, but it's like, you know, I can't stay the same person the whole way through. I have to keep evolving.
And do you have any plans to tour?
Yes, I do. I'll be touring July, all around the West Coast area in the US.
Okay, well, that's great because I'm on the West Coast, so I'll be able to catch you when you come to town. And how's the single doing outside of New Zealand at this point?
It's good. It's platinum now, so it's doing pretty good. We've already put out like my third single now.
The third single's out, and what is that one called?
I mean, we started earlier here, so we're starting again in like the US and everywhere.
Well, you know, it's where you are, it's Friday afternoon, and where I am, it's Thursday evening. So yes, you do start earlier there. You are living in the future.
I'm talking to the past.
That's that you are. As you are starting on this new phase of your musical career, because it really is. I mean, this is a change from what you've done before. But you survey the past. What are you most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to coming over to the States. I'm really looking forward to coming over there, pushing my music out. And I mean, this has always been my dream, like to put music out overseas and get my music heard. And I'm just most excited about doing that.
If you're coming to San Francisco, I'm going to try to get tickets and come and see you. And if you're part of a music festival, I'll certainly do that as well. But I wanted to thank you so much for talking to me and for being on the Pop Dose interview.
Thanks for inviting me onto the show.
And that's the Pop Dose interview, podcast style. My thanks to Aradhana and to you for listening to this podcast and for reading Pop Dose. I'm Ted Asfargadu. I'll catch you next time. Pop.
Joe.